want to speak this morning a wee bit about the Guild and about its theme for the year and about the work that we do on behalf of local congregations and across presbytery areas nationally and beyond that, in fact. Some background. The Guild, as you will know, is a very active organisation within the Church of Scotland, and it's there to promote faith development and service amongst people who are its members. It's part of the Church of Scotland. It's a movement. It's described as a movement within the Church of Scotland. It's not a separate entity. It's something that operates within the congregation, is answerable to Kirk Session, and within the national level to the General Assembly. And every 3 years we have a new cycle. We're in the second year now of the cycle that runs between 2018 to 21. We call it a strategy, which is really a kind of overarching theme. And at the moment that is One Journey, Many Roads. A title which seems to me to relate very well to our reading about the body of Christ, about how we're all parts of the same body. One journey, many roads. People doing the same mission, if you like, but in different ways in different places. And for us in the Guild, if we have a Guild in the northwest of Scotland, which is the smallest one we have in our records with 4 people in it, or the one in Glasgow, in the south side of Glasgow, that has over 100 members in it, and all points in between, they're all the Guild. They're all there to serve Christ through worship, prayer, action and fellowship, but they have to do it in different ways because they'll be operating in different places with different skills, different resources, different numbers, and so on. And everything I'm going to say about the Guild, actually, I think, can actually just be magnified into what we say about the whole Church of Scotland and indeed the whole of the Church and how we all work together locally, regionally, nationally. We talk within that reading there, that when it talks about the different gifts that people may have, the gifts of the Spirit. Broadly speaking, I found them defined as these 7 gifts, and people use different words in different places. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. All of these spirits, all these gifts of the Spirit. And it strikes me that one of the things that can overwhelm us as Christian people and as church people is that we see these things written down and say, oh, I think I have to be all of those. How can I possibly be all of those? How can I teach? How can I prophesy? How can I be someone who looks after folk? How can I be someone who encourages, inspires, supports, whatever it might be? And the point I want to make this morning is it's not about individual people doing all of these things. It's about the body of Christ working together to do them collectively and to share with each other in what we do. We shouldn't feel under that pressure to be all things to all people. We should each be looking for our own gifts, and we do all have them, and how we might use them in the church. In the Guild at the moment, we're looking at ways of reinvigorating ourselves in lots of different aspects of what we do and why we do it. And Mary mentioned earlier on in the prayer the motto of the Guild, which is whose we are and whom we serve, and that whole notion of service and how we do that, and how we encourage people to see how they can serve their own church, their own world around them, without feeling that pressure to try to do all things in all times. No football team could have 11 goalkeepers. They wouldn't lose very often. But it's also against the rules. No orchestra could have only violinists, important as though they are to an orchestra. We have to have the other. We have flute, clarinet, we have cello, we have other instruments, and a full orchestra would have brass section, woodwind, and all of those things together. It wouldn't work unless we had all those different things, and a conductor, and a leader, and so on. No building firm could get together and say, we're going to create a new housing estate, we've only got plumbers, because all you'd have is a heap of pipes. We need to have the different skills, the different trades, and so on. And any organisation you've worked in, you'll be able to think of the same thing. We need all those skills, we need all those things as individuals to come together to produce the collective. But I think it's also important to think that the body of Christ is not just about today. That the people who are contributing to today's church are not the only important part of what is the body of Christ that is the church. The people who have gone before us are part of that heritage as well and have made it possible. The people who put this church together in its original form built it, I'm guessing, probably in the Victorian era, whenever this church was built. And then the people who modernised it, the people who changed the way it looks, the people who maintained it, the people who've run the Kirk session over the years, the previous session clerks, the previous elders, the previous ministers, the previous choir leaders, the previous organists, have all contributed to make the church what it is today. And they are part of that body of Christ as well. And we have to think of that aspect too. So we've got the collective body here in front of us, with us, around us today. We've got the one going past it, but we've also got it going out the way as well. And for the guild and for the congregation, I think it's important to remember we are part of something so much bigger than just our own congregations. That we go way beyond that as well. As a church you are, and the presbytery plan was mentioned today, which I'm sure is going straightforward, it'll just roll on. There won't be any controversy involved, but there'll be a presbytery plan there, which will take its shape. And that talks about the churches in the Aberdeen area working together as part of the Church of Scotland. And those presbyteries then come together to form the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. And it's important for us at guild level to think about our own groups in a congregation and our own, in the presbytery area, what we now call guilds together, and then the National Guild as well, because that lets us see we're something, part of something that's so much bigger than just what we see day to day in our own situation. So you've got a body of Christ within the church. You've got it going over through history, and you've got it going sideways, if you like, across the world beyond the doors of this particular church here. So within the church, we have these groups, and we mentioned it with the children. We've got the children, we've got the office bearers, musicians and singers, we've got parents, we've got carers, we've got artists, we've got all sorts of people who provide, along with ministers and other office bearers, the life of the church and are part of the body of Christ here in cults and beyond. And as I keep saying, let's remember not to challenge ourselves to do the things on our own, because we're part of something much bigger if we work together. And in the guild, it's exciting to be part of that. I've done this job now for just over 8 years. And throughout that time, I've seen guilds come together at a local level. And all the work you'll see in your own congregation here, cherish that. Remember what the guild does with and for you. The importance of the guild to the congregation. And dare I say it, the guild is important to the whole life of the Church of Scotland in a way that really identifies it as something way beyond a group of people who you think maybe meet every Tuesday in the afternoon or the evening or wherever it may be and do their own thing. The effect of the guild permeates the church throughout everything that we do. They're not just there to make the tea, good though they may be as that, but they're also there to serve the congregation in so many other ways and to provide office bearers for the church and to lead worship from time to time and to lead other events that fundraise or speak to the congregation, speak to the society in which we live. The guild is much more than just a wee social thing. At presbytery level, it gives strength to itself by meeting together in the guild's together group. We used to call it the Presbyterial Council. I'll just tell you a story as to why we changed that name to guilds together. To celebrate the guilds. So they're talking about guilds coming together across Aberdeen or across Glasgow or across Tane or Ross Tane or Sutherland or wherever it may be, coming together to share their understanding of being the guild, but also to share the fellowship of being the guild. We used to call it a presbyterial council. People used to think that was something that presbytery ran, so we had to change that aspect. It's a guild thing. The council thing was really quite interesting. The lady who was then convener of the Presbyterial Council in Dundee spoke to a local guild one night, and she told us a story recently. And at the end of it, she was telling me what the Presbyterial Council did and how it brought guilds together, blah, 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 did all of that kind of thing. And someone said to her then, "So, you're from the council then?" To which she innocently enough said, "Yes, I am." "Well, that's great, because my stair light's been out for 3 weeks." The perception of what the Presbyterial Council was slightly skewed, shall we say. So we now have these guilds together groups, bringing people together at a regional level. And then collectively, they form our national council. Out of the 750 guilds, 750 groups across the country meeting regularly and doing sterling work with and for the church. They meet in about 40 to 50 presbyterial groups called guilds together, and then the national council, which meets 4 or 5 times a year to run the national policies, if you like, of the guild. And that's when we start to look out the way even further, because then we look at the resources we provide to help the guild run, but internationally as well. The last time I spoke at a church service in this way was in August in a church called Matope Church in a city called Mzuzu in the northern part of Malawi, where the guild has a huge connection with the church there, the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian. And that's when you really see what the Guild, through the Church of Scotland, through the Guild, is actually about in many, many ways. One of the things we've done over the last couple of years is have events called Big Sings, and the offerings from those have gone to different pieces of work in Malawi. This year, it's to put a roof on a church, and we thought, not as exciting as we've done in the past, which was to do with the HIV projects or with training medical people or all sorts of human things like that. Putting a roof on a church sounded like a kind of strange thing to be doing, till we went to that church. In that morning service, the people on the chancel had plenty of space at the start. An hour and a half into the service, as people still were arriving, they had to clear the chancel to let more folk in. There were over 1,000 people in a building that holds about 500. Standing outside and inside. They have 3,000 people wanting to come to church every week. And what they're doing is they've got a church that's probably about the size of this one, and they're building a new one outside it, like right round it. So if you imagine 3 or 4 or 5 times the size of this building being built right round you, and then once it's finished and we've put the roof on, they're going to knock it down, the old one, and have a huge new church. And you see, that practical thing that the Guild is doing by coming together has a huge effect for thousands and thousands of people in a country thousands of miles away. And it's at that level, taking that journey, being companions on the road with the people of Malawi, we see the effect that we can have with them. And we bring things back from there as well about the mission that they have, the sense of the deep sense of faith they have, the level of worship they have, the commitment they have to their church and to their whole Christianity throughout their lives, in a way that perhaps we've lost a wee bit in this, what they would describe as the mother church of the CCAP. So when you look at your Guild members, don't just see people who are meeting here on a week-by-week basis. Don't just see them as people as part of your congregation or people who are maybe a wee bit, you may know a wee bit about how they work across Aberdeen. Think about how nationally the Guild comes together and produces resources, events, and ideas that touch the world in a much wider sense. One of our biggest pieces of work is a project partnership scheme, which works with six different charities over the same 3-year period. So we're in this one journey, many roads, and we look at other people's journeys and the roads that they're on as well. We have 6 different projects. My technique usually is to remember 5 of them when I try to list them, but never the same 5, but I'll have a go. We're working with Crossreach to look at loneliness and isolation and touching the lives of people who are in desperate states because of their own personal situations, their mental health and so on. We're working with the Boys Brigade to train new young people and to develop them in what they do. We're working with the Sailors Society to provide a chaplain in every port for seamen who are travelling all over the world, sometimes away from home, mostly from the Philippines, for months at a time. And their lives are being aided and helped and supported and encouraged by the work of the Guild fairly directly. We're working with a group called Malawi Fruits, encouraging young farmers in that country to develop into cash crops from the subsistence farming they've been doing in the past. We're working with an organisation called the Free to Live Trust, who are building safe houses for the children of sex workers in Pune in India. People at the very edge of life, in very, very dangerous situations. All of these projects working across the world with people on the very edge of what they're doing. And that's what the Guild does. Not just meeting every week, but touching the lives of people across the world, as it has done now for 132 years. The Guild is a central part of the body of Christ here. But it's only one part. The important thing is to keep a note in your mind of what they do and how they do it. But let's just think about who's here, for example. A wee bit like what the children did. I'm not going to ask you to come out. But just, could you just do that? Just raise your hand if you are an office bearer in the congregation. And keep your hands up. Put your hand up if you are or have ever been involved in leading an organisation within the church. Put your hand up if you are a member of the choir. Do we have a choir here? Yes, thank you. Put your hand up. Keep your hands up once they're up. And it's, the people asked first get to hold your hand up the longest, so you get the fittest out of this. Put your hand up if you're a musician. If any of the orchestra don't put their hand up, then we'll have to ask some deeper questions. Put your hand up if you're a member of the congregation. Put your hand up if you're a visitor today. There's people still putting their hands down, I think. If you've been asked to put your hand up so far, could you put your hand up? Put your hand up if you've not yet got your hand up. You put your hands down now. Without all of these people, the body of Christ wouldn't exist. And each of you has something to provide individually. But collectively, there are things like, there's the Kirk session, which is a group within a church. There's the orchestra, which is a group within a church. There'll be other committees within this church, which are groups, which is also are parts of that body of Christ. And today, we're celebrating what the Guild is as part of that, and what they do for your congregation as part of this church here in Colts, but also as part of the Aberdeen Guilds together, and as part of that national group who's been touching the lives of people across the whole world. But 2 weeks ago, I was with Shuna at a celebration, commemoration, I'm not sure which, of the end of the National Youth Assembly, which we'd both been involved in our previous employment with the Board of Parish Education. And we were looking back down through the last 20 to 25 years of that. Now, when I was General Secretary of Parish Education back in the 1990s, we submitted a project proposal to the Guild to fund a National Youth Assembly. And the idea was that that would then develop young youth reps at the General Assembly, and it would create a whole voice for young people in our church. It was called Bridging the Gap. And we were successful. The Guild gave us the money to fund that project. So for the last 25 years, work that has been done by the Youth Assembly has been seed-funded and developed and encouraged, practically and in person, by the Guild to encourage young people in the church. It's a big, big voice in so many different ways. The Guild over the years has challenged the church. One of our national presidents opened a meeting once with a prayer written by a man called Brian Wren, and the first line of which was, God our Mother. And that immediately opened up a huge theological discussion which goes on to this day within the church. Around the same time, they boycotted South African oranges because the Guild wanted to make a stand against apartheid at a time when that was not a popular thing to do. In 1956, the year I was born actually, the Guild built a church in Easter House in Glasgow because a new housing estate had been built without a church. And the Guild led the way on that. In the 1940s, the Guild did a project sending gifts to young mothers in Germany as a peace and reconciliation thing. And that's a real example of the Guild challenging people all the time about what we were about. My grandfather died in the First World War at Passchendaele, and my granny had her only son, my dad, away to war for the Second World War. If in 1946 you'd said to her, Jeannie, I've a great idea, what's that? She would have said, we're going to send gifts to the Germans. What would her reaction have been? But the Guild saw the need to start to build bridges across the international boundaries then, as they did in Easter House with the people who were living in those council houses in Glasgow, as they're doing with the children of sex workers in India, as they have done with human trafficking, domestic abuse, postnatal depression. All these issues, huge social and cultural issues that the Guild has led the church in discussing and putting on its agenda, way beyond what people's perception of what the Guild might be. So when you see your Guild members, who are Guild members? There's Guild members here. Are there Guild members out there as well? Any of you there? Look at these people. These are the members of your Guild. Remember what they do. Celebrate what they do. Cherish what they do. Because they're a central part of the life of this church and of our Church of Scotland and of the Church International. Touching lives here within their own group. Touching lives here within their congregation. Touching lives across Aberdeen. Touching lives across the whole world, as they have done now for 132 years since the very first meetings of the Guild back in 1887 were held. Don't think of it as an organisation that's had its day. Think of it as an organisation that's living in a different day from maybe it had in the past when we had 150,000 members. Think of it as an organisation which still has a voice within your church, which is part of the body of Christ at this local level. And it can't do all things, and it needs to work with the other groups in your church, and it needs to work with other people in your church and other people in your presbytery and so on. But cherish them because they are your companions on this road. They're each other's companions on the road. We are all companions on the road of faith and of the church's life as it stretches from the past with all those great shoulders on which we're standing right down to now and on into a vibrant, thriving future as well. Look at the Guild members and see yourself reflected in them. Find out more about the Guild, maybe even join the Guild. There might be more to it than you thought. But celebrate it today, because this is a huge part of the body of Christ and brings gifts and skills and presence and insight and faith in ways that are incredibly important both to the individuals but also to us as a collective Church of Scotland. It's good to be here. It's good to see a congregation thriving like this, to be a busy church like this, and to see one of our guilds in person continuing to lead your congregation, no doubt, in so many ways. Take that forward into the future. And next year, when we go from Companions on the Road to the Extra Mile, think about how you might be able to help them take that journey on the next stage, beyond where they are now, into the future, into the extra mile and the challenges that they face.
We shall continue our worship with the offering. The offering will now be uplifted.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving Father, we bring you these gifts of money, which are but a small repayment for all that you have given us. Your Son, Jesus Christ, commanded us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are so aware that our world's resources are not shared equally, and that many live in situations of squalor, danger, and sadness. Gracious God, we cannot physically come alongside many who need our help, but we bring you now this money as a token of our love. May it be used to bless and help others wherever they are, and may they, in turn, become aware of your great love and care for them. Heavenly Father, we pray together for a world gone wrong, disturbed and unsettled. Look with compassion upon all who flee violence, oppression, or natural disaster today. Let us pray for those who live in fear of any kind, those who have to face prejudice because of their race, color, or tongue, those who are fearful of the future with all its uncertainties, those who face difficult decisions where there is no easy answer. In particular, at this time, as we read about the human tragedy in the Middle East, let us pray for the never-ending conflict there. Let us also pray for the families of the recent human trafficking. Give them strength as they await news of the fate of their loved ones. Let us also remember those in the various organizations who have the harrowing task of identifying the victims and reuniting them with their families. Let us remember, too, another conflict nearer home, that between our politicians as they wrestle with the problems brought on by Brexit and now with the forthcoming general election. Give them strength to continue the process and the wisdom to enable them to develop an outcome which will prove to be of benefit to all whom they represent. As we approach this time of remembrance, we hold before you all those who have died as a result of war. May we remember the cost, lest we forget the value of our freedom, the responsibilities it brings, and the reassurance of peace. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We now continue our worship with our closing hymn, which is hymn 458, At the Name of Jesus. Hymn 458.